exhausted, so I decided this morning, let me sit a little alone in the nature. So as I was chanting, I heard some crackling of bushes behind me, and when I looked around to see, I saw a family of, the German word is Waschbären. These are small bears. I think in English you would say raccoons. There was a mother raccoon. She was very big. And she looked at me, hello. And there were about five little ones. And they just passed very close by me. And I was thinking, usually they are so afraid of human beings, and human beings, they are always, you know, they want to kill them or you know, do something harmful with them. But when they saw me chanting, they could sense, this man is Tika. He's all right. He has a very peaceful vibration. He will not harm me. And beyond that, I think something else happens. When we chant the holy name, the walls between us, the feelings of being separate from each other, by our color, by our nation, by our language, by our mood, our worldviews, and so on, all these fine little borders which we human beings are so expert to make around us, these borders fall away. And you sense, you get this feeling of interconnectedness, or as they say in India, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, all living beings are part of the family of Vasudev. That's the name of Krishna. It means the one who's everywhere. So the chanting, I was just thinking this morning, I made friends with a new family, the family of the raccoons. I will visit them. I think I bring some prasadam with me, so that we can sit together and talk about raccoon life and whatever. or at least communicate in some ways about it, and then feel that we are all really connected. Even the animals are connected with us in one big family. This is the side effect of chanting the holy names. And if you chant some more, you will find out you're connected with Krishna. Good, I just wanted to tell you about my new friends. Maybe I should bring them also one day in the temple here. Oops. I'm sorry, Ben. I'm invited at the moment to so many conferences, so this is for conference one. This is for conference two. And this is for today. I thank you all very much that you have come to Krishna's temple.
Sorry, we would like then to start a translation.
Ja, wieder, also wisst ihr alle Bescheid, die deutschsprachigen? Das ist schon mal, wir haben schon mal Mangala hier. Die ist die eine gute Übersetzerin vom Englischen ins Deutsche. Diejenigen von euch, die Sprachhilfe brauchen, Sprachhilfe, eine Sprachprothese, nein, so nicht, eine Übersetzung. Ich sehe gerade, wo die, where are you going? Maybe you can all come a little bit forward, then we create some space for the trans waiting people. Yes, Nick, where are they? There, okay. Alright, then. Today we celebrate in our temple the appearance day of Lord Balaram. If you please look at the altar for a moment, you see on your right side, Jagannath, means the Lord of the Universe. Yes, and there on your far left side, a white is his first expansion, Lord Balaram. I suggest that we all chant together a mantra to Lord Balaram, which will bring us into the subject. I will say the words and for you to follow. Namaste Balina. Sorry. Namaste Balinam Shrestha.
Namaste Balinam Shrestha.
Namaste Dharani Dara.
Namaste Dharani Dara.
Valambare Namaste Tu.
Valambare Namaste Tu.
Trahimam Krishna Purvaja.
Trahimam Krishna Purvaja.
Again, please. Namaste Balinam Shrestha.
Namaste Balinam Shrestha.
Namaste Dharani Dara.
Namaste Dharani Dara.
Valambare Namaste.
Valambare Namaste Tu.
Trahimam Krishna Purvaja.
Trahimam Krishna Purvaja.
Wonderful. And then let us end three times chanting the mantra to Lord Balaram. God, we know it's a very full subject matter, because the Lord can appear in so many ways and so many forms. I've just come from Italy, from the mountain called La Verna. It is a mountain where Saint Francis, I think you know the saint by the name Saint Francis of Assisi, needed an ultimate certitude, eine letztendliche Gewissheit. he had started an order of Franciscan monks who were just so different from the Roman Catholic Church that they were afraid that they would be crucified or burned to the stake on the order of the Pope. So in order to escape this fate, which many spiritual people had to confront at that time, they decided to give themselves a rule that was sanctioned by the Pope. And in this way, they would become a branch within the Catholic Church. But Saint Francis of Assisi didn't like that. He didn't want to compromise his spiritual principles and got expelled by his own order, the whole thing which he started. So when that happened, he was naturally asking himself, am I just stubborn? Am I just in false ego? He needed an answer. If what he had started was spiritual, it was sanctioned by the Lord, and the only answer he could accept was an answer directly from the one who, for whom he was existing, for whom he was doing all these things, serving the poor, healing the leprous sick people, and spreading this very, at that time, new form of spirituality. So he went to a mountain, it's called La Verna, and he had only two questions. I have told about this yesterday also. His two questions, which he repeated again and again during a period of 40 days of fasting, the two questions were only, who am I? Really? And who are you? I think when we asked ourselves these questions, who am I? Then we arrive at answers which are different from what it says in our passport. In the passport it may say you are a German, it's very easy, or an Englishman, or a New Zealander. You are 1 meter and 82 centimeters tall, that's who you are. You are male or female. But when we ask such a question on a deeper level, our passport is not helpful. It may even deceive us. We are different from this body and different from the designations, the upadis, the etiquettes which we stick on our body. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm intelligent, I'm a revolutionary, I'm a singer, and so on. We are quite different from these labels. And so since Francis had only this question, who am I really in my essence, no? And the second question, who are you? Not meaning a fellow human being, but meaning the source of everything. To whom we say in our cultural contexts, God, who are you? Either up there or down here or left or right or everywhere, who are you? And he needed an answer. So, and therefore he went to this mountain and he had a revelation. It was first he saw a lot of light, then he felt a huge wave of love washing over his entire being. And then he saw a form of God to whom he could relate. He also understood, I am accepted the way I am, and I will have so to say the love and the acceptance, that's a good word, which I need to continue on my path. There are many forms in which God appears to us, and we will hear a little bit about the many mouths in which he speaks to each single one of us, if we become a little bit more sensitive inside. But today we are speaking about the form of Balaram, the first expansion. It is said when Krishna, who is the Adi Purusha, the original being, when he steps to, let me just, left, no, right, when he steps to the right side, he is Balaram. He has a different color. He doesn't look blackish. He looks as white as a mountain made of crystal. He comes in this form in many ways into the world. He expands from this Balaram into Mahavishnu. That's a form, listen to this. When he breathes out, the whole all the universes are coming out of him, almost like when you go under the water and you go then there are little bubbles or big bubbles of coming out. So when God does this, when he enters the causal waters, the waters of the origin, the original waters from where everything comes, then he manifests the universe just like that, effortlessly, without much strain on his part, no stress. Playfully he creates these universes in which we human beings make so much stress for ourselves. God, and he has other forms through him. The various avatars appear. I think in the West we all know and have heard about the Buddha avatar, who gives wisdom, and he comes again as something which I feel is very, very important. You must first of all know Balaram. The word means Bala and Ram. Bala means strength, and Ram means pleasure. So all the forms of Balaram, all the forms of this first expansion of God, give to those who make contact with him or with them a lot of spiritual strength and pleasure. By the way, we all need spiritual strength. Each one of you who sits here knows so many good things. You know how to act in a way that is compassionate. You know how to help your other human fellows. You know how to be good to the persons who are close to you. You know a lot, but can you always act upon your knowledge? My dear everyone, to act upon one's knowledge requires a lot of inner strength. For instance, I know I'm different from the body, but when I go to the dentist, then I will not so easily say, oh, I don't care about the drilling job which you do. I would say, can you give me please a good injection so that I won't feel so much pain. It's very difficult to sometimes act on the knowledge. Or we know we should be compassionate, but when we pass that beggar on the street who sits there with trembling hands and with tears in his eyes, and we know I still have 5 euros in my pocket, then we don't know if we are inside of us strong enough to renounce and give away these euros to help another human being. We know a lot, but do we act on that platform? Often we are disappointed with our performance. Often we feel, oh, why did I do this? I knew I should have done it better, but we can't do this. We can't take our words back, which have flown out of our mouth and have caused hurt to another person, because we are not always able to act upon our knowledge. So this strength, this inner strength, which helps you to act on wisdom, comes from Balaram. How does it come from Balaram? Listen to this beautiful secret. Please listen to this. It will be quite educative for you. Balaram, this expansion of God, appears in this word right before us in the form of our spiritual teacher. Or we sometimes say in our way of saying things, spiritual master. When we do connect with a bona fide spiritual master who's real, we will not only get knowledge from him, but we will also somehow mysteriously get the inner strengths which we require to act upon this knowledge. I remember reading a piece of literature which my good friend Ram Dass had written. I'm speaking of the Berlin Ram Dass, who's still alive and who is with us. He had visited India, and like all those who visit India, received a major cultural shock. Some of you have also gone to India, and you know, you come, oh yeah, everyone is so nice, and then you get cheated left and right. They must all know the Bhagavad Gita. And then you hear them talking only Bollywood songs. And you go to India, oh, nice climate, but then it's so hot that you think you are in an oven. Oh, India, the land of purity, and you step with your bare foot into a pile of pig stool, which smells so bad. And if you get one after the other, these cultural shocks, you become run down, as we say in German, dann gehst du echt auf den Zahnfleischmann. You know, then how to express it in cultural English. Then, yes, you're worn down and your nerves become thin. You may at that time know the Bhagavad Gita and the sacred scriptures, but you just can't take the heat any longer. You can't take the cheating of the rickshaw drivers any longer. You have malaria, and at the same time diarrhea like an elephant, you know. And you're really at your nerves' end, and you think only one thing: when do I go back to Berlin, please? So this, I think, some of you know. You have knowledge, but you cannot act, or you can't feel on it. But by the mercy of these great souls, you can make, you can have a switch. You're in the same India, you're in the same village, there are the same rickshaw drivers, the same hot climate, the same everything. But you have a total different perception. Your perception has gone from the lower planet to the paradisical view. And that happens when you are connected with a bona fide spiritual master. You are able to act upon your knowledge and to live on the plane of spiritual reality. You are there. Now the spiritual master, because his essential being is Balaram, you know, the source of strength and pleasure, can speak to us through many, many mouths. There is a very, very amazing book. My God, please read this book. It's called the Bhagavatam. Your life, when you read the Bhagavatam, is a total different life than when you don't read it. It's such a powerful scripture. It's like a lift. You enter it and whoop, it pulls you up to that spiritual level. So this book in the 11th canto talks about how this Balaram, this expansion of Krishna, appears in various spiritual masters or spiritual teachers. Listen to this, please. There is this king, Yadu, who is walking through the forest. He's in the midst of a jungle. I forgot how he got there. Maybe it was some visit to a neighboring country and he needed to pass a jungle. I do not know at this moment. So he walks and all of a sudden, in the midst of the wilderness, he has not met a human being since a few days. He sees someone coming from behind a bush and standing up. It's a human being. He has long, long matted hair, a beard. He's absolutely naked. There is not a piece of cloth on his body. He has eyes in which Yadu seems to lose himself. The king seems to lose himself. They are so special. I think we all have met people, and you look into their eyes, it feels almost their good energy draws you inside. So he looks into this person's eye, and although he looks so absolutely wild, you know, with his unkempt hair and his, I mean, he's not dressed, not even a leaf. Nicht einmal ein Feigenblatt. But he seems to be very, very full with profound wisdom. So Yadu says, you look like a very cultured person, but you are here in the wilderness and you're not dressed. What is your thought? What is your perspective on life? And he says, my understanding is that this world is only a dream. Wow, profound. And then he says, I have learned this from 24 gurus. Oh, says King Yadu. That sounds interesting. I thought you only have one guru. Yes, it's the one guru who speaks through many mouths, said the Avadhuta Brahmana. I learned from the earth to be tolerant. The earth, anyone walks over the earth, sometimes foolish emperors fight for their own political gain and the earth becomes full of blood, but the earth remains tolerant. I learned from the fire. Whatever comes in the fire, leaves, benzene, nails, hair, paper, it is consumed by the fire, and in the end, everything is pure. So I've learned to take the impressions of this world into me without letting them influence me. So he talks about many such gurus. He talks about what he learned from Pingala, the prostitute. He discusses what he learned from a hawk, also ein Falke. He learned what he discusses what he learned from, oh, this is a good one, the arrow maker. Yaru says, what did you learn from the man who made an arrow? Did you learn how to shoot a bow? No, says the Abhidhamma. I learned to fix my mind. Boom. The arrow maker was sitting at the side of the road and making a perfect arrow. At that time, the king came with a huge procession by. There were dancers, there were musicians. It was loud and distracting. But the arrow maker was only with one thing. He fixed his mind on the arrow. I remember one Chinese master, he was 135 years old and he could run like a child. And people asked him, how did you become so gracefully old? And he said, well, I have only one tip. When I eat, I eat. When I walk, I walk. When I sleep, I sleep. When I talk, I talk. And he continued like this. He gave the instruction, don't be distracted by the 1,000 distracting things. Fix your mind. And this is what the arrow maker taught this wise man. So when we hear from a bona fide spiritual teacher who's connected to Balaram, this divine principle, then we will find the teachings which we receive echoed or repeated by so many representatives of Lord Balaram who speak to us and who help us to get above the clouds. This is a terminology which my spiritual master used. He said, when you are in material consciousness, you are as if you are under the clouds. But when you are in spiritual consciousness, you are as if you are above the clouds. When you are under the clouds, the sun is covered. When you are above the clouds, you see the sun very freely and you are bathing in its light. So when you are in spiritual consciousness, you actually see, you actually feel the presence, the divine presence of the Supreme Lord. And you are very, you are never alone. For one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost, nor is such a person ever lost to me. So, yes, there's one thing I would like to say at the end. The spiritual master, or the Balaram, this original spiritual master, can save you also from fake. There is one pastime when Krishna and Balaram were in Vrindavan, where it becomes very clear how Balaram sees through the illusion and can discover someone the way they really are. I think on the spiritual path, it's very important that as we progress, that we don't go into these little side roads of illusions where we just can't see the truth any longer in front of our eyes. So this is, see, you're becoming so restless here. Concentrate. 5 more minutes, you can do it. I have to address my young rowdy crowd here. So yes, this is about Krishna and Balaram. Let me see, and how they acted. Yes. Let me read this to you. Krishnasya nityata kechit jagu kechit avadayan venupani talai shringai prashashankshur athapare gopajati patichana deva gopala rupino idire krishna ramo cha nataiva natam ripa. Did you understand? I also didn't understand. I will read you in English. Krishna was dancing. Some of his cowherd boyfriends danced along with him, and they were singing, and others were playing the flutes, hand cymbals, buffalo horns, and others praised his dancing. Oh, Krishna, you dance really like a dramatic actor who enters on stage. In Berlin English, you would say, oh, Krishna, you dance really cool. but the other language is required. So as they were playing, they paired off, and they were playing. So one boy had to carry the other boy on the shoulders. And there was one person now. He was a mighty demon. He had a body like a mountain, it is described, through which lava come, from which lava comes out. So this Pralamba was his name, knew the mystic arts, and he made his body as small and cute and innocent as that of a little cowherd boy. And he came to Balaram and said, I am now carrying you. Get on my shoulders, please. So Balaram saw right through him. This is a demon, and he really has only evil intention. So as the great, I will now read this from the Sanskrit work. As the great demon, but he got nevertheless on top of the shoulders. As the great demon carried Balaram, the Lord became as heavy as massive Mount Sumeru. I won't tell you what this mountain is. It's a long story. So he became really heavy, and Pralamba had to slow down. He then actually changed his form and resumed his actual form. He had an effulgent body that was covered with golden ornaments, and he resembled a dark cloud flashing with lightning as he was carrying Balaram. So see the scene, a dark cloud, that is the demon. The flashes in the dark cloud are his golden ornaments. And he carries Balaram, who looks like a moon. So there's a moon over it. A very poetic language, as you can say. See. Nirikshatat vapu alam mambare charat. And so on. When Lord Balaram saw the gigantic body of the demon as he moved swiftly in the sky, he can fly, with his blazing eyes, fiery hair, terrible teeth, reaching toward his scowling brows. The Lord looked in surprise. Then he remembered the actual situation, and fearless Balaram understood that the demon was trying to kidnap him, take him away from his companions, and then kill him. Then Lord Balaram became furious, and he struck the demon's head with his hard fist, just as Indra, the king of the celestials, the demigods, strikes a mountain with his thunderbolt. And so on. And as the demon goes down and disappears, everyone sees the soul of the demon, who's now freed from his demoniac body and his demoniac mentality. Everyone sees, like a light, the soul coming out of this mass of massive body and entering into the body of Balaram. He's liberated, he's freed, everything is over. So the cowherd boys saw it, and they exclaimed, "Sadhu, sadhu, iti vadinaham," means excellent, excellent. And the celestials of a flower. Yes, what does this mean when we translate it into our reality? It means that we are surrounded in the world by so many things that appear in one way, but they are different. For instance, many of us still think we are maybe a body, a man or a woman, but it's not the case. We are eternal. Eternal spiritual souls. We don't have to follow the lie of all these identifications. And if you are in contact with this, with Lord Balaram, you can, you know, become free from this illusion. I mean, this is only one illusion. And you can see things as they are on the spiritual platform. I remember, and I will close with this, when we had finished building the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, my spiritual master was breathing a sigh of relief. Who of you has been to the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan? Oh, that's a good number of you. Wow. Wow. Really? Dauji, you have been?
No.
Not yet.
No.
In the future.
In the future.
Yes, yes. It's really a temple where you wouldn't like to miss seeing this temple. It's not so large, so you can find everything very easily. It's in fact a little small, but it's full of spiritual power. So on the central altar, we have Krishna, and on Krishna's right side, there is Balaram. And my spiritual master said, now our life is easy. Krishna and Balaram are there. So you pray for Krishna, you pray to Krishna for intelligence, spiritual intelligence, and you pray to Balaram for spiritual strength. And with these two things, you are strong and you have wisdom guiding you. You know, everything is possible. Spiritual wisdom and spiritual strengths that will, in America they say, that will win the race for you, but I don't like this way of saying it. That will help you to reach the perfection of your life. Good. Finished.
I did yesterday a little meditation with those who came. Should we end with a meditation?
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes.
We should. Good. Let me do. What? Yeah. Is it too hot or is it acceptable? Henry, it's okay. We have the door open, Haribol. We can't. Well, the window is open there also, I see. So we have some air. Oh, I see you. Jürgen, you are here. Good. This will be very easy for us because we will really relax. But I need a little peace. It's possible in our Bengali section. Good. We will do a simple centering exercise now. Please sit tall. I think let us first stretch a little. This is good way to stretch. You lock your fingers and then you turn them and then you can feel the stretch. Oh, yes. And let all the stress disappear through our arms in the sky and out of the window. Move a little to one side and the other side. Okay. I request you now to bring your attention to your lower body. Jainitai, we hear every word. Relax your legs. Bring your attention to your sitting bones, where you sit on the floor. Chest and your stomach area. Relax. Your shoulders, both of them. Appreciate how your whole body is relaxed now. And since we hear every step, you have to use gliding steps, then you won't make noise on the wood as you walk. No, gliding steps will do the job. It's
do a few deep inhales and exhales. Whenever we exhale, our breath is a little longer, just gentle. Whenever we inhale, we stay with our inhalation. We walk with our breath. Once again, say the devotees on the altar, please do not make noise. Now we breathe into our heart space. Just try to imagine when you breathe in that you breathe into the heart. And see inside a moon. And in the moon, see Balaram appear. He's full of effulgence. The complexion, the color of a crystal. He wears blue garments and a garland of forest flowers. His handsome hair is tied in a knot. His one golden earring on one of his ears. His broad chest is ornamented with a garland. His arms are very long, touching his thighs. And once again, the splendor of his transcendental form is more bright than many millions of glistening, rising moons. Turn to Lord Balaram with a prayer. Or in your mind's eye, offer him a flower or a lamp. And as you do this, the sound of the holy name very much for participating in my little presentation today. I wanted to highlight or emphasize one point. When we hear about Krishna, when we hear about God, in fact, even when we hear about our own self, these things sometimes appear so far away from what we daily deal with. At such a time, it is very important to see how can I make the connection. Who am I and who are you? This connection, or this connection is always between two, so the self and the supreme self, no? So this connection is very important. When we lose the sacred dimension, we lose really everything. When we lose the sacred dimension, our life comes under the cloud, or even more, it comes under the water, and we begin to struggle in our life. We begin to, something is not right, and we want to righten it, and often the ways which we do to make things right are fake. They don't work. They are illusions. So during this time, it is very important for each one of us, really, to see how we can make this divine connection happening for us, so that we don't come under the water and lose everything. I wish you all the best. I thank you for coming to this temple. I think you have collected a lot of blessings, because today is the special day. Technically speaking, the full moon of Balaram was yesterday, but it comes into this day also. It has to do with the TTs, these astrological units, and this is still within the Balaram Purnima. You can actually do a little experiment when it's getting dark. Look for the moon. It's a very, very, very nice moon. You have seen yesterday? Wow, it's really like, this is Balaram's moon. And do you want to know something even better? In 8 days, now only in 7 days, Krishna appears.
Wow!
And this is Krishna Jamashtami. If you have not yet made your travel plans for Jamashtami, a good address to go is in central Germany, Golokadam. Gokrishna, myself, we will be there. It's a beautiful project in the midst of the Hunsrück, they say. Taunus. It's where Trier is, or where Ida Oberstein is, or it's 2 hours by car from Frankfurt. So, yes, you might inquire here in the temple for the address and the exact time.